From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Last month may have been Earth's hottest July ever recorded, and Alaska wasn't spared. Lightning sparked wildfires across the state after a slow start to the fire season. There are now 140 active fires, including one that prompted an evacuation notice near Fairbanks today. Meteorologist Craig Eckert at the National Weather Service office in Fairbanks said those blazes are widespread.
There's fires distributed all over the place. There's too many to try and describe where they all are.
This time of year usually marks the start of the rainy season for the interior, but that's not happening this summer. Weekend forecasts call for highs near 90 degrees and a Chinook wind that could spread the fires and dense smoke even further. July was hot across most of Alaska with record-breaking temperatures in some communities. Utqiagvik, the nation's northernmost city, had its hottest month on record. Fairbanks had its second hottest. Meanwhile, temperate rainforest communities in southeast Alaska flirted with drought. Climate specialist Rick Toman with the University of Alaska Fairbanks said climate change will continue to bring hotter summers like this, but last month stood out.
Changing environment doesn't mean that every summer is going to be record warm. What it means is that these occurrences of extreme warmth, extended warmth, those will become more frequent.
Meanwhile, a swath of the state from Anchorage to the southwest mainland saw unusually cool temperatures, and along the state's western coast, it was also very wet, 200% wetter than normal in some places. The differences in the weather were largely determined by two opposing fronts, but in the huge part of the state that stayed hot, a high-pressure system over the Yukon Territory and eastern interior Alaska kept skies mostly clear, which created sustained heat for July, and that's a big deal.
There hasn't actually been that many record high temperature set, but rather it's that day after day of these well above normal temperatures. And that's the kind of thing that can really drive environmental changes.
That means things like warming salmon streams, more fuel for wildfires, and continued melting of mountain snowpack, glaciers, and permafrost. A California man who was indicted last month on federal sex abuse charges had a decades-long association with Juneau's Echo Ranch Bible Camp. Bradley Earl Rieger volunteered at the camp as a nurse and counselor starting in the 1970s. And a warning, the story contains mentions of sexual violence towards minors. In Juneau, survivors of sexual abuse can call AWARE at 907-586-1090 to find resources for support. The charging documents allege that Rieger abused more than a dozen boys and young men, often under the guise of medical care and often during camping trips or church activities. But federal investigators believe he could have hundreds of victims. In an interview, former Juneau resident Troy Wilson told KTOO that he's one of them. He says Rieger befriended Wilson at Echo Ranch when he was a child and first abused him during a trip to California.
He's a monster. And now that I hear about the things that he's done to other kids and other people, the stories are identical. And I hope that my story and statement helps those people someday.
Wilson may be a familiar name in Juneau. He worked for the Juneau Police Department for nearly two decades, left the force, and went to prison after shooting at police during a mental health crisis in 2012. Wilson said the standoff happened at a time when he was working to confront the trauma of Rieger's abuse. A federal grand jury in Sacramento indicted Rieger last month on charges of, quote, illicit sexual activity abroad, transportation of a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, and coercion and enticement, unquote. Rieger lives in Susanville, California, where he's owned a series of medical service companies. According to the criminal complaint, Rieger would find ways to travel out of California on camping trips or church-affiliated missions with his victims. Then he would sexually abuse them under the guise of medical treatment. The complaint says that some of the abuse took place during camping trips in Alaska, though it's not clear where. Rieger pleaded not guilty to the charges on July 21st. Investigators are still looking for other possible victims who have not come forward yet. Rieger's presence in Juneau dates back to the 70s. In a statement, the parent organization of Echo Ranch Bible Camp, Avant Ministries, said Rieger was never employed by the camp, but volunteered in the 70s and sporadically over the years. A history of the camp, written for its 50th anniversary in 2014, includes several references to Rieger. Avant's statement says the organization is, quote, grieved by the reports about sexual abuse by Bradley Rieger and grieve for any and all children harmed, unquote. And it says Rieger can no longer be affiliated with Avant Services or set foot on Avant property. Troy Wilson says he met Rieger when he was a child in the late 70s, and his parents worked at Echo Ranch. His parents trusted Rieger. So when Rieger invited Wilson, then 12, and two other boys to go to California, Wilson's parents said yes. They thought it was a chance to go on a fun road trip and go to amusement parks, which his parents couldn't afford to pay for themselves.
Now, looking back, you know, he was, I believe, was grooming my parents and grooming us kids.
It was on that trip that Rieger first assaulted Wilson, under the guise of checking for ticks, Wilson said. At that time, Wilson didn't understand what had happened to him.
As time went on, we went back to Echo Ranch. Nothing ever came up, never said anything.
Then, when Wilson was 18, he worked for and lived with Rieger for a year in Susanville. He saw it as an opportunity to get into a career in emergency medical services. When Wilson started suffering from severe back pain, Rieger offered to examine him. Instead, Wilson said, Rieger assaulted him again under the guise of medical attention.
He was a nurse. I trusted him. He was a friend. I was looking for help.
After the second assault, Wilson said he didn't feel like he could do anything about it and didn't report it to police. But other people did report Rieger. The criminal complaint says Rieger was investigated at least as early as 1986. It says that Susanville police investigations in 2003, 2006, and 2007 involving multiple victims did not result in criminal charges. Wilson stresses that Rieger did not abuse him at Echo Ranch, and he doesn't know if Rieger abused anyone else there either. Rather, Wilson said he thinks Rieger used places like the camp to befriend families and gain access to children.
That's what he does. Echo Ranch was a mechanism that introduced him to our family.
Wilson, who now lives in Washington State, said that after he served his prison sentence, he started going to therapy to deal with his trauma. He says that he hopes sharing his story might make it easier for other victims to come forward. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The FBI has an online form for anyone who wants to report that they or their minor dependent may have been victimized by Bradley Rieger. You can find that linked in the story on ktoo.org. Again, in Juneau, survivors of sexual abuse can call AWARE at 907-586-1090 to find resources for support. And a walrus calf was rescued from the North Slope this week and flown to the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward. The center says the month-old male walrus is now receiving, quote, round-the-clock cuddling. Dr. Carrie Gertz, director of animal health at the Sea Life Center, says the 200-pound calf showed up with dehydration, malnutrition, and a cloudy eye, but it's showing signs of improvement.
He is taking his bottle very well, so that makes it so much easier for us to take care of him.
Workers on the North Slope spotted the baby walrus in an odd location, on tundra, about 4 miles inland from Beaufort Sea. Pacific walruses normally don't venture so far from the coast. It's not clear whether he traveled under his own power, but Gert says observers noticed a trail in the tundra that may have been made by a walrus near the road where he was discovered.
He's got all these little cuts over various parts of his body, which suggested him, you know, going over some rough stuff.
Several organizations rallied to help the animal. With approval from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the calf was moved to a warehouse overnight. Then ConocoPhillips flew him to Seward Tuesday in a company plane. The Sea Life Center is now providing 24-hour care, including cuddling. Gertz says walruses are extremely tactile and always in contact with one another, so the staff are trying to stay close for his mental well-being.
It's obvious that is something that he seeks out and other calves seek out. And so we do provide him that companionship. And usually, I mean, he follows people around, and as soon as they sit down, he'll be laying up against them.
The rescued calf is only the 10th walrus ever admitted to the Sea Life Center in its 25-year history. And as for the weather, it's 70 degrees and sunny this afternoon in Juneau. Tonight, there's a low of 55 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to get as high as 76 degrees, and Sunday, 72. Both days are expected to be sunny. Sunday night and Monday, there's a chance of rain with a high around 66 degrees. And the National Weather Service has issued a flood warning through Sunday morning for Mendenhall Lake and Mendenhall River after Suicide Basin began draining earlier this week. You can keep up to date with that on the National Weather Service's website, weather.gov. You're listening to KTOO.